May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our nation celebrates Memorial Day this weekend. It's a time when we come together to break bread, to look forward to the summer. Our high school graduates are counting the hours. Well, they probably started counting in March, really, but now the finish line is right in front of them. And as a country, it's a time when we remember those who have served in the military, and especially those who have died. And maybe it's because we can point to a greater cause, a logic in the courage and sacrifice of those who have served and died. But it's one of the few times that our society deems it acceptable to name what we have lost, to talk about the people that we grieve for. And so it is strangely fitting that on this holiday weekend, our gospel reading draws us back to Maundy Thursday. You remember maybe that night that we had here on Maundy Thursday, this Holy Week, the sanctuary was dark when we came together to read and enact Jesus' acts of humble service to his friends. And now, in the light of the Easter season, we return again to that drama of Jesus' death and rising again to new life. We've been reading John's Gospel these past few weeks, and especially last week and this week, we see John holding up Jesus' care for his friends on the eve of his crucifixion, as the reality of their rabbi's fate is dawning on the disciples. They are already grieving. Their dreams of overthrowing the Romans are fading into the background, and the danger and the pain of their undertaking has set in. Thomas and Philip ask in strained tones, "How can we know where you are going? Show us the Father, please." And really, what we hear in these words is this: Jesus, don't go. Don't leave us alone, Lord. And who among us does not know that feeling? Loss is part of being human. We live and love, and eventually we know death. Our mothers and fathers, grandma, grumps, sometimes our brothers or sisters, friends, spouses, even our children will leave this world. And we're never really ready for that. We don't want to be left alone. And even those losses that might seem smaller, the loss of a job, or a home, or a divorce, a move away from friends and family, even these smaller losses, if we can say that they are smaller, force us to come to grips with a future different from what we hoped for. different from what we dreamed of. A life without the familiar, and an end to what was. And having lost that loved one, or our dream, or a home, or a job, we are left to move forward with our lives, having to lead and knowing that we too are mortal. Thomas and Philip and Peter and Mary, they knew that feeling. They could see those things coming, and soon they will feel their own lives in the balance as Jesus is arrested and tried and killed. And so Jesus' words of comfort that night are for them and for us here now. Last week, Kate preached to us the gospel translation from Eugene Peterson, The Message. And she read to us those words of Jesus, "There is plenty of room for you in my Father's house. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so that you can live where I live." And this week, as that passage continues, Jesus tells his friends, "If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you." That commandment that Jesus gave his disciples was to love one another as he had loved them. "I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you orphaned." That language of orphan is so powerful. Being vulnerable, alone. It speaks directly to that fear that we have in the face of death and loss. Jesus says, "I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back in just a little while. The world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I'm alive, and you're about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming back." The good news is right there for Jesus' followers, for the disciples on that Thursday night, and for us here today. Even if they or we might struggle to hear it through fear and sadness, not only does Jesus go to prepare a place for us, not only does Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit provide for all those who take up the mission of holy love that Jesus taught us, but God sends us the promise that we will never be orphans. We will never be alone. Jesus' victory over the grave means that we will see our mothers, our brothers, our friends and children again in God's glory. And it also means that we have the Holy Spirit with us today. And we have a charge, too. We have Jesus' commandment to love one another as he loves us. That means that we are called to bear each other up in our grief, to take care of one another when death takes one who we love, to teach and shepherd people of every age, and to walk together with all God's people in his procession. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for your gifts to us. Through your holy word, through your sacraments, and through your holy people. Grant that we and all your people may see and know the presence of your Holy Spirit in our midst, that we might love one another as you love us, and be messengers of your peace to the end of the age. In your holy name we pray. Amen.